Wow, 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 wow. What an amazing, amazing story. I don't know about you, but as we've walked through the past couple of weeks, I have just been overwhelmed by these stories and just all that God's doing inside of our family and all that we have the opportunity to be a part of. And as I walked into the day, I was just constantly throughout the entire morning, I've been overwhelmed by the fact that I just love to be a part of this together. I love to be a part of this with you guys. I love what God's doing in our church family. I love being a part of our church. And you go back, you hear all these stories. You heard Anna's story and how God transformed her life. And we heard from Emma and her stepping into community and how God used that in her life. And we heard from Jason and Carolina and how God's using that adoption to help them grow and all that they're experiencing. And we heard Steve's story last week and how God's using him as he steps into service. It's just, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm so incredibly grateful to be in this together and so excited about what God's doing. And for those of you who don't know, first of all, my name's Chris. I'm lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. But also, for the last couple of weeks, we have been focused in on this question, what I believe is the most important question in our lives. What am I here for? What is this whole thing about? Why do I exist? And we've seen something really powerful as we've been walking through this. We've seen how God, as he steps into our lives, he steps in and says, listen, I want you to understand something. I have a plan that I have been, that I am, and that I will continue to execute. This is not, I'm not just winging this. I'm not just hoping this works out. And in that, I have specifically planned you. And there are specific things that I have planned for you to do in this. And we've seen this incredible reality that he has specific things, things that he planned for us long ago before this whole thing started. He didn't plan them because you happened to show up and he's like, well, I got to do something with this one. No. He planned this before this whole thing started. And God, as he steps into our lives, he's calling us to that. He says, I want for you to know that. I want for you to live that. I want for you to experience that. And so we've been looking at how he calls us into that and what it looks like to embrace that call. We've been looking at it in the book of Ephesians. And as Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, I want for you to live a life that's worthy of your call. And he's been showing us these calls that God extends to every single one of us. There are certain calls in life that are specific and are individual, and then there are calls that God extends to every single one of us. And we've been walking through those, and we saw his call to be love. He's now, I want for you to embrace my love. He's calling us into his love and this reality that he said, no, before the whole thing, I wanted you to be adopted. I wanted you to be love. And he's calling us into that love. Some of you are here today and you're kind of exploring this Jesus thing. I just want you to know as we talk about this, because I know sometimes I share that and people are like, well, that's for good people or that's for this kind of people or that's for... No. This is an invitation that Jesus has extended to every single one of us. As Anthony said, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. Jesus gave his life for you to be adopted, for you to experience God's love. And God's inviting you into that. And he wants for you to experience love like you could only imagine in him. He invites us, he calls us into his love. And then we looked at how he calls us into his family and this idea of unity. He says, I want you to embrace my family. I want for you to experience that unity of the Spirit. I want for you to not only experience my love, but I want you to experience the love of the family. And then we looked at how he calls us to grow. He says, I want you to embrace growth, and I want for you to know what maturity looks like and what it looks like to become more and more like Jesus. I want for you to experience that. And then last week we looked at how he calls us to embrace our role and the unique way that he has created and gifted us. We talked about it last week, that God not only has specific things that he created for you to do, but he specifically created you to do them. And you're specially gifted to be able to step into that. God says, listen, You're not an accident. Don't you for one second think that you're an accident. No, before this whole thing, there are things that I had planned for you to do. And so he steps into our lives and he's calling us into that. As we embrace these fundamental calls in our lives, then all of a sudden God begins to speak into our lives the more specific calls. But it's in embracing these fundamental calls that we begin to move and God begins to lead and guide and direct us into those things that he specifically created for us to do. And what I want to do today is I want to look at the fifth and the final of what I would say are the fundamental calls of God in our lives that are extended to every single one of us. And in order to do that, I want to go back again to the book of Ephesians. Now, as Paul talks about this call with the book or in the book of Ephesians with the people at Ephesus, as he talks about it here, he doesn't talk about it in terms of them. He specifically talks about it in terms of his own life. And he talks about how he's responded to this call, and he talks about, or he demonstrates this call, responding to this call to the people at Ephesus. Now, some of you are here, and you're like, Paul, who's Paul? Was he at the first service? No, Paul was one of the early leaders in the church, and he's an individual that God used to be able to take the truth of Jesus throughout the Roman Empire, and God actually speaks through Paul to those churches, but also speaks through Paul in the letters that he writes to those churches. One of those letters is the book of Ephesians, and God's trying to help them understand, no, this is the call that I have for your life. This is what I'm calling you into. I want to go back to that today. We're going to jump into Ephesians chapter 3, and Paul's talking about this in his own life. Listen to what he says. He says, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I'm the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege. Again, he uses that word privilege. It's the second time that he said that. He's given me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. And Paul's talking about how he's responded to this call in his life. It's a call that Jesus has given to every single one of us. It's a call that Jesus has extended to every single one of us. As a matter of fact, in one of the most famous passages in all of the scripture, you hear this from Jesus. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's about to go back to be with the Father, Matthew 28, and he says this. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And here you see this call. Jesus says, I want for you, what I'm calling you into is I want for you to embrace, not only embrace my love, not only embrace your role, not only embrace growth, not only embrace the family, I want for you to embrace my mission. When Jesus talks about his mission, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he says, this is my mission. Now I'm giving you the mission. Here's what I want you. I want for you to embrace my mission. I want you to take me to the world. And so Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, you know, I've stepped into this calling. And the unique thing is that God's called me to be able to take this to the Gentiles. And he's talking to them about how he's embraced this call in his life. And it's a call that God brings to every single one of us. He says, I want to use you for the world to know me. I want to use you for the world to know me. Because here's the thing. God wants your life to matter. God wants your life to matter. And you know what I know about you? You want your life to matter too. You want your life to matter too. I've sat down with people who have said to me, I don't think my life matters, but I've never sat down with someone who said, you know what, I just don't want my life to matter. What's your goal in life? Well, I'd just like to make sure that I do nothing of any significance at any time for all of history. Never had that conversation with anyone. Why? Because all of us want to know that it mattered. All of us want to know that it's over, that the effort was worth something. We want it to matter. And God wants your life to matter too. But here's the thing. Most of what we pour our lives into isn't going to last. That company that you're working to build, it may last for a little while, but eventually it's going to end. That house that you're investing so heavily in, eventually it's going to end, or you're going to end, and you can't take it with you. All of it. Most of what we invest our lives in is not going to last. But there is one thing that's going to last. And that's people. That's people. And God wants your life to matter. So he says, I want to use you. I want to use you to impact people. I don't just want for you to know what it is to be adopted. I want for you to be part of the adoption process with others. I don't want for you to know what it is to be an outsider that's brought in. Remember we talked about this with Jesus, how Jesus was the one who belonged, the brother who belonged, and then he comes out and brings us who didn't belong into the family. He says, not only do I want you to experience that from being brought into the family, he says, I want for you to experience that from being the one who brings someone else into the family. I want for you to be the one who now belongs, and you go out and find someone else and lets them know, like Jesus gave his life for you to belong and be part of that adoption process. God wants your life to matter. He wants to use you to be able to impact people. And so he says, I want for you to embrace my mission. I want for you to introduce me to the world, and I want you to introduce the world to me. And let me just stop there for a second, because I want to make sure that we get this right, because I think for some of us, when we think about this idea of embracing the mission, we think about sharing with the world the message of Jesus. No. Listen. What we're here to do is to introduce the world to Jesus. This is not a religion, this is a relationship. And if you're here today and you're trying to figure this whole thing out, my prayer for you is not that you believe a system. My prayer for you is that you encounter the one who loves your soul. That you encounter the one who loves your soul. Jesus says, I want for you to make disciples. A disciple isn't someone who believes something. A disciple is someone who knows someone. Why do we call them disciples? Because they were close to Jesus. They knew Jesus. They walked with Jesus. They encountered Jesus. And the mission that we've been given is to introduce him to the world and to introduce the world to him. For them to encounter him, for them to know him, for them to walk with him. Jesus says, I'm giving you a mission. I want your life to matter. I'm going to use you for people to know me. We have to embrace the mission. So how do we do that? How do we do that? Interestingly, it's very much like what we talked about last week. And last week we talked about how we don't discover our giftedness until we just start serving. And just start serving right where you are. And then in community, you're going to be able to see that. The same thing is actually true with this. It doesn't start out there. It starts right where you are. It doesn't start with a big mission out. No, it starts right where you are. It's interesting. When Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he leaves them, he talks to them about how they engage this. Listen to what it says in Acts. Acts chapter 1, it says this. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, okay, guys, I'm giving you this mission, and you're going to take this to the world. But look at how he lays this out. He says, first in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria. Now, I'll give you a little bit of context because not a lot of you know where these places are. What he's saying here, if you were to say that in right here in this space, he would say first in Hoboken and then in Hudson County and then in the United States. And he's just expanding circles as he walks through this and expanding distance. And so he says, listen, I want for you to do this, but it starts first right where you are. And if we're going to get serious about, okay, I want to embrace this mission, I want to introduce people to Jesus, it starts right where you are. And as God is redeeming our story, one of the things that you have to understand is that God doesn't have you where you are on accident. I know you don't like your roommate, but God doesn't have you with that roommate on accident. Some of you are looking at your roommate right now and like, oh, this is awkward, but... And God has specifically put you where you are because there are people around you that he planned for you to introduce to him. And your neighbor and your family, your coworkers. And God says it starts right where you are. It doesn't have to start out, no, it starts right where you are. And you start right there. My journey with this started with me engaging the guys who worked for me at UPS and just sharing with them what God had done in my life. And when God began to take me on this journey, and really the journey of church planting, it started with me working at UPS, sharing Jesus with the people around me. The guys who worked for me, the guys who worked with me. It starts right where you are, and you start to introduce them to Jesus. Now, again, for some of us, when we think about that, we think message, and we think we got to have all the answers, and we got to be a theologian, and we're going to share with them this big theology, and we're going to convince them. That's not what Jesus says. Listen to what Jesus says. Not only does he say, like, okay, we're starting where we are, but he intentionally uses this word. He uses this word over and over and over again. He says, I want for you to be a witness. You know what a witness is? A witness is someone who shares what they have seen or heard or experienced. It's personal. If a witness shares something that they haven't personally experienced or seen, it's inadmissible. It's called hearsay. I learned that on Law and Order. So did you. And you know, like, oh no, witnesses can only share what they have seen or experienced. And God says, no, don't worry about sharing all that. No, just share what you've experienced. Share how you've encountered me. Don't share ideas about me. Share how you've encountered me. I could tell you a million facts and ideas and things about my wife, or I could tell you stories of how I've experienced my wife. Which one is going to let you know my wife better? The people around you need to see it's not a religion, it's a relationship. Tell them about the person of Jesus and how you've encountered him. We weren't saved by a religious idea. We were saved by Jesus. And I want to introduce him to you. And you can know him. It starts where we are, and we become witnesses. We introduce them to him. And then we begin to pray about our people. When Paul is talking earlier in that verse, as he's writing to the Ephesians, he says, you know, I've been sent to the Gentiles. He's talking about his people, the people that God's called him to. And when you read through Paul's story, you see that it gets even more specific than that. And so there are times where God says, listen, I want you to go to Ephesus, and I want you to go to this city, and I want you to go to this city. It's interesting because Paul's always arguing with him. He's like, I want to go to Rome. God's like, nope, not yet. And he takes him to all these different places, and the entire time he's sending him to people. And I don't think that's just true for Paul. I think that's true for you. I believe that God's called me to the people of Hoboken. They said, I want you to impact this community. These are your people. And I think that he has people that he has planned for you to impact. But you have to begin to pray about people. I have conversations with people all the time who are trying to figure out what they're going to do in their life. And they come to me and they talk to me about their career decisions. And I'm thinking about going into this, or I'm thinking about going into this. Or sometimes it's college students and I'm thinking about this major, or I'm thinking about this major and I don't really know what to do. Or I'm thinking about living here or living there. Even after the last service, someone was talking to me about that. And they're just like, you know, I'm trying to make this decision in my job. Is talking about moving me here and I don't really know what to do. And they'll often come to me because they're frustrated and they'll say, I've been praying about it. And I just don't feel like God's answering the question. And my response to them every time is the same. I tell them, it's because you're asking the wrong question. They said, what do you mean? I said, well, as I read through the scriptures, I don't see anywhere where God's giving people career advice. I don't see it. But you know what I do see God doing? He's constantly telling people who he wants them to impact. And I challenge them. I challenge them to change the question. Rather than asking God which career you're supposed to have, what if you ask God who he wants you to impact? You know what's amazing? I have not had one person who changed the question and God didn't answer. One of them, it took him to the Philippines. I haven't had one person that changed the question and God didn't answer. You know why? Because God is passionate about people. And begin to pray, okay, God, who do you want for me to impact? That's how that journey began with the couple whose story that you heard. It began with them praying, God, who do you want us to impact? And it may be that God keeps you right where you are, or it may be that God takes you to an entirely new place. But it's driven by what matters and what lasts. And God has people that he has planned for you to impact, to introduce to him. God didn't create you to be an accountant. God didn't create you to be a fashion designer. God didn't create you to be a banker. God created you with those gifts and skills because there are people that you can reach and impact and introduce to him that I'm never going to be able to build a relationship with because I hate Excel and you think it's the greatest thing that ever happened. But we have to change the question and begin to look at the skills and the abilities that God's given us differently and to realize that, no, my life is a tool to build God's family. My life is a tool to build God's family. I want you to just turn to your neighbor and say, my life is a tool to build God's family. Some of you are like, that's a lot of words, Chris. You got to keep that shorter next time. My life is a tool to build God's family. When you embrace the mission, this is how you begin to live. And you look at everything that God's given you and you say, okay, how do I leverage that to build God's family, to introduce people to him? And you hear that story, that couple story, and for some of you, you heard that story and you thought, man, that's crazy. That's crazy. If you didn't think that on some level, you didn't listen to the story. You think, man, that's crazy. And if you don't think that your life is a tool to build God's family, that story is going to be crazy. But here's the thing. One day, that won't be the crazy story. Listen to me. One day, that won't be the crazy story. Because there's going to be a day when this is all over, and the only thing that's left is God's family. And we're going to have to tell our story. I once actually, interestingly enough, I once had a dream about this. It was more of a nightmare, actually. And I'm not saying like, oh, God gave me a dream. And no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I was struggling through this, and I think I just dreamed about it. And inside of my dream, the story was over, and I found myself sitting at a table with Abraham and Paul, and these are all like significant people in God's story, and lived their lives like this was true. And as they were telling their stories, I was just so excited to hear their stories. And then it came to me. And at this point in my life, I was really into golf. Like, I loved golf. I wanted to golf as much as I could. I wanted to get as good as I could. And I remember it came around to me, and they asked me about my story. And it was like one of those dreams where you can watch yourself doing something, and you hope you stop, but you don't. And so I'm watching myself respond to the question. And as I respond to the question, I say, well, you know, I got really good at golf. And they all looked at me and said, what's golf? And as I'm watching this unfold, I'm thinking, shut up, Chris, just shut up, don't talk anymore. But I went on to explain to them, well, there's this lot of green and there's this little white ball and then you have this stick with this thing on the end of it. And they're just looking at me like, are you serious? At that point, that's going to be the crazy story. Listen to me. Have you ever done something, like have you ever had a great accomplishment that was a great accomplishment in one context, but then you found yourself in a different context and you're trying to share this great accomplishment and everyone's looking at you like, seriously? Have you ever experienced that? It's really uncomfortable. I'll give you an example. Just me and you. When I was in junior high, I had the grand champion pig at our county fair. Where I grew up, that was massive. For you, that's humiliating. I actually thought about whether or not I could share it without losing so much credibility that you wouldn't listen to me from now on. And I could sit here and try to explain to you why it's a big deal and why it's important. Listen to me. For some of us, that's going to be our story. Yeah, but you have to understand, it was this company, and it was a really big company, and I worked my way up, and it was really, and everyone's going to be looking at you like, really? But I had all these great vacations, and I went, and like, you mean vacations, like what we get to do all the time now? Like, really? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with any of those things. It's just, it's a matter of perspective. What is it about? Because it's a really great story if you come to the end of it and you say, you know, I was good at this stupid game, golf. You've never heard of it. But I was able through that game to build relationships with all sorts of people. And you wouldn't believe the number of people that I got to share Christ with on a golf course. That's a great story. That's a story that reflects this. Or to be able to say, like, I worked my way up in this company. You've never heard of it. You'll never hear of it. But it gave me the ability to support missionaries all over the world. And Paul's going to look at you and be like, hey, it's people like you that allowed me to do what I did. That's a great story. What's your story going to be? Listen to me, listen to me. Live for the story you'll tell then, not the story you'll tell now. Because the story that you'll tell then will be your story for eternity. It will be your story for eternity. My life is a tool to build God's family. There are specific things that God planned for you to do. And not only, before this whole story started, not only did he specifically create things for you to do, but he specifically created you to do them. For some of you, you have lived your whole life and people have told you over and over again that you don't measure up. And people have told you that you don't have what it takes and something's wrong with you and you're not the way that you should be. And for some of you, you've begun to believe it because you have not yet stepped into your purpose. You haven't followed God into your purpose. It doesn't matter what it is. If something is used outside of its purpose, it's awkward and uncomfortable and it doesn't work right. But when it finds its purpose, all of a sudden, all of that changes and you see the beauty of what it was created to be. And some of you have never experienced the beauty of what you were created to be because you haven't followed God into your purpose. You were created on purpose. There's specific things that God has for you to do. He specifically created you to do them. And not only that, he created you to do them right now. He created you to do them in this time. I am so tired of hearing people talk about how hopeless our time is. God has not failed. He has not screwed up. His plan has not stopped moving forward. And he has created you specifically for this time. Not another time. Not 50 years ago. Not some other time. This is our time. This is your time. And you were specifically created to impact this time. This is our time. And when God's people respond to God's call, you have no idea what God will do. I do not for one second believe that this is a hopeless time. You know why? Because you're going to respond to the call, and you're going to respond to the call, and you're going to respond to the call, and you're going to respond, and you're going to respond, and you're going to respond, and I'm going to respond. And when God's people respond to God's call, God does amazing things. So don't you for one second tell me it's hopeless. We were created on purpose, for a purpose. This time, lean in. Lean in. Respond to the call. Will you pray with me? Father, I pray that we would recognize the power and the beauty of what we just talked through. The unbelievable privilege. Go back to that word privilege. The unbelievable privilege that we have to introduce the people that you plan for us to introduce you to introduce them to you. The unbelievable privilege to step into this time and to live your purpose in this time. What a phenomenal privilege. Father, we want to lean into that. We want to answer that call as best as we can. And we look forward what you're going to do through that. In Jesus' name.